Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Close. I'm Cynthia Poore, and my guest today is Dean Decker. Dean is in the state of Texas, and him and I are going to have a conversation about the importance of community radio. So, Dean, it's a pleasure to talk to you. How long have you been involved in radio?
Well, thank you for the invitation, and this coming October will make 20 years I've been doing this.
Wow. Has it always been community radio, or were you on the mainstream media at all?
Well, I prior to my time with Pacifica, I was a liaison with the New York Times. They have then 20-something years ago, had a drug policy forum. And I was the liaison there to bring on guests like Milton Friedman and then Governor Gary Johnson and many others. But that was my prior public exposure, if you will.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. So you had mentioned to me that you talk about the drug war. Can you give us a
Sure.
little background of what you talk about?
Well, I look at it like this. You know, I'm an old guy. I'm 72 years old. I've witnessed this drug war unfold for my whole life. And I, 20-something years ago, about the time I turned the age of 50, I ascertained that there was no benefit to it, that there was no good that was coming from it, that we were ruining the futures and of, you know, millions of families every year, taking away their ability to earn an income or just be respected within their community. And at the same time, we were empowering terrorists. If they were brave enough to grow flowers on some distant mountainside, we're enriching these barbarous cartels south of our border that butcher tens of thousands of people every year. And we're giving reason for existence to these violent gangs that prowl our neighborhoods, enticing our children to lives of crime or addiction. And I just set to work trying to expose the stupidity of the whole process, that drug prohibition is stupid, evil, and at its heart, it's racist. And that's what drives me.
So how long have you been talking about this issue on the radio?
Oh, 20 years. I have more than 8,300 radio programs and segments that have been issued over the years. Let me inform your listeners a bit. I produce a half-hour show each week called Cultural Baggage. My associate, Doug McVeigh, produces another half-hour for the Drug Truth Network called Century of Lies. And then each week I produce seven three-minute segments we call the 420 Drug War News. A lot of stations mm-hmm. drop them in during another news segment or as bumpers or other ways. But more than 60 stations, U.S. and Canada, carry my shows every week.
So what has the response been as you've been doing your shows?
Well, let me back up to the very beginning. My very first week on air, I had finished the show. I came home. I didn't know who was going to kick in the doors, the cops or the cartels. Well, 20 years later, no one's kicked in the door. But at that time, I was the only person doing such a program on this planet. About 3 weeks in, I went on the Internet just to see if anybody had made any, notice of what I was doing. And I found that mm-hmm. there were already five stations. Five stations had already picked up my show and were carrying it without even asking me. And that eventually we got up to about 125 stations because people wanted that drug war news. They were afraid to produce it in their own city for that same fear of who would kick in the door if they would dare to speak this truth. And I'm pleased that over the years, about half of them now produce their own drug war news. But at the time, it was a real sticky wicket to try to get into. But as you're well aware now, most folks are beginning to realize the failure and futility of this drug war. They may not know what to do about it, but they're at least aware of its failure.
Let's talk about the message a little bit. How long have you been on the Pacifica Network?
Well, it started on the same day 20 years ago. It'll be October. We'll make 20 years. And I am a one-trick pony. I try to be, in fact, I am the world's leading expert on this drug reform. I've traveled the world. I've done, thousands of interviews. I've interviewed more than 1,000 individual guests, everyone ranging from the drug czar of Portugal, who I consider to be a friend, to, let's say, the coroner of Vancouver, British Columbia. I try to run the gamut insofar as whose expertise I put on the air, and I am proud of what we've done over the years.
So, you know, people might not be aware of the Pacifica Network or community radio. Would you say a majority of people who listen to radio get their information from the mainstream press?
Boy, I think we do have a problem that too many people are, well, I don't know. I don't know how old you are, but I know that when I was young, we had Walter Cronkite. We had newscasters. We had people who were real newsmen. Now we have people who are corporate shills for the most part. Even the local news here in Houston is just blather and frivolous societal focus on, you know, things that really shouldn't matter to the average Joe and Jolene out here. And I guess what I'm saying is Pacifica is at the heart of the anti-modern news. We want to expose the fraud, the misdirection, the liars, those who would distort and deceive. We want to expose those folks, and that's what we do. We're a good counterbalance, and you know, the public would do well to support us, to keep us on the air, to keep us on their heels of these bad politicians.
So how does that differ from, let's say, Amy Goodman?
Well, Amy is Pacifica. I'm not sure I follow you.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know she was on Pacifica. I wasn't aware of that. So that's good. So Pacifica's coast to coast, right?
Yes, coast to coast and up into Canada, down into Mexico in a couple of cases.
Oh, I didn't realize either it was that, you know, large of an area. So would you say that the majority of people are really not aware of Pacifica? Pacifica is really kind of left of center message, right?
Well, I guess you could say that, but let's define the center, if you will, because, you know, for too long, the news has had a rightward slant, if you will.
Right.
And there is now, especially with the election of Joe Biden, there is a reawakening of the left side's ability to have focus, because I guess they were always there, but they were diminished by the tsunami of red-hatted right-wing, you know, propaganda that had been smeared on us for the last 4 years. And that's changing now, thank goodness. It tends to go in swings from, you know, one side to the other, but I do believe there are, I don't know, sufficient folks with the attitude that we, there is a better way, and that we need to be more compassionate, more willing to protect the lives, the future, the votes, the livelihoods of our fellow men. We've become rather stingy and, what's the word, just uncaring of the needs of others. And I hope we're changing that equation.
Well, I certainly hope so. So you've been doing this for 20 years, and you feel strongly about this.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I do feel strongly. I think I prove that with every sentence that comes out of my mouth, because, again, I have had the opportunity to invest, I don't know, 40,000, 50,000 hours investigating this one subject to talk to the top echelon in every category that I can think of. And I feel quite proud that the knowledge that I carry within me, that I've gleaned from these, thousands of interviews, has enabled me to stand tall, to be ready to debate this subject with anybody, from the federal government to the head of the UN. There is no legitimacy to the drug war. I can prove it. I can drive them off the stage in less than 5 minutes. But then again, they never want me on that stage with them.
Well, so for people who are listening who have a passion for anything socially relevant, know how to get their message out, what would you tell them?
Well, I'll just say this. My email is Dean, D-E-A-N, at drugtruth.net. And I invite people to give me ideas on stories or to be guests if they have a whole scenario they want to present. Because I'm not, what do you want to call it, celebrity-oriented or, I want people's stories. And I've interviewed hundreds of prisoners, patient providers, marijuana growers, people who've been busted for heroin, cocaine, you name it. I have no qualms. I don't think drug users are demons or evil or something to be feared. They need to be pretty much left alone and respected. Unless they're doing harm to themselves or anybody else, it's nobody's business.
I did a Zoom call last night with a local community radio station here in the Capital District of New York State. And one of the people that was talking was saying that community radio is a good vehicle to organize to get more unionization and to fight big business who are trying to bust the unions. Would you agree?
Oh, I certainly do. I've got to just jump right on that because that's the heart of it all is that we have been deceived repeatedly, decade after decade, by those corporate, quote, masters, excuse me for using that word, but those folks who lie to us and make their money off our backs, off the work we do. There, this disparity between CEO pay and average worker pay has just grown exponentially over the last 20 or 40 years to where it's absolutely ridiculous. And unions were the means whereby in prior decades, an average family could have the man working and make enough money to pay the bills. The wife could tend to the children, et cetera, and no need for her to have a job or the man to have a second job. But these corporate, I'm not going to say leaders, but these people at the top of their chain, they really don't care. They don't care whether it's American workers making their products or foreign workers. They want the money. They want the profits. They want the most profits. And they really don't care about American lives and the future of their fellow citizens. And through the unions, we had power. We had more money. We had the means to get more money. We were able to negotiate higher pay raises, et cetera, et cetera. And those numbers, those abilities are diminishing daily. And we need to stand for people and quit believing the BS that comes out of these corporate offices.
I started out doing podcasting, and now I'm on community radio. Would you say that podcasting and community radio is the wave of the future? And if so, will there be much of a pushback from the mainstream media?
Well, I do know this. My home station here in Houston, KPFT, we have another channel, a podcast channel, where a lot of folks come in and cut their teeth, so to speak, where they produce a lot of podcasts and, develop an audience, et cetera. And, in many cases, when an opening occurs, they're allowed to move on to the actual broadcast stream. And it is worthwhile, yes, if that's what you're asking. It is a means to fine-tune what you're up to get better at your mission, and then to make that jump into broadcasting. I highly recommend it. I wish every station had that second channel where folks could learn to do the podcast and to improve their capability.
Do a lot of stations have that?
Oh, I think many do these days, yes. I think I don't have a real, data set, but I think a lot of them do, yes.
So putting the TV on and learning, listening to the radio, how many people are aware of, I know people know about Amy Goodman, and there's been a consolidation of radio stations on the right. People are aware that there's community radio and Pacifica for regular folks to get their voice heard. Is it
right?
A lot of people or no?
Are you asking, I don't know, are there a lot of openings maybe? Is there vacancies open?
No,
it's
are
not.
There a lot of people? Are there a lot of people who are aware of the possibility they could speak about their passions on community radio?
Well, I think most folks are unaware that they have that opportunity, that if you have an important issue and some information that's not being reported elsewhere on the corporate media, that Pacifica
mm-hmm.
will listen. They will listen. And there's if it's strong enough or positive enough or important enough, you will get an audience on Pacifica.
Wow. So you're happy with your position?
I'll put it this way. I am the world's leading expert on ending this damn drug war. And the fact that corporate
mm-hmm.
media doesn't pay me any attention, when it comes time to, in my city of Houston, when they're talking about a drug bust or a situation involving, I don't know, drugs or cops or whatever, they don't come to me. They go to the local, guy just got elected head of Normal or something. They don't want my opinions because, there is no legitimacy to the drug war. I start right there, and they don't want to hear that because they've got a newspaper. They've got to post their story and a picture of the cops standing around a table with guns and drugs and money and a big smile like they just did something. Or the same on TV. They glorify the drug war, and it was the media back right at 100 years ago that started glorifying prohibition, that it was so necessary, that the proclivities of some people would demand that we do this to save their lives. But, drugs are deadlier than ever before. The overdose rates are higher than ever before. They were supposed to stop the snake oil salesmen, but what they did was set loose a million snake oil salesmen. There's never been any legitimacy to it, and so for me, it's easy pickings, and I just know that my goal, my ambition, is through these thousands of radio shows to motivate the populace to speak up, to tell the politicians, we know it's bull, why don't you do something about it, or maybe I'll vote for your opponent, because that's the only way we're going to change this. The politicians know it's a fraud, But they can't change. They've made their bones through this policy. And so did the media, the major media. It's hard for them to back down. That's why I do what I do, because it's easy for me to say the truth. And Pacifica, you know, makes it possible. And I'm so happy for that.
So over the years, how much of an impact do you feel that you have had on the populace of this country? And you said Canada and Mexico. How much of an impact have you personally had?
Well, I can say this, that I get feedback from around the country, from into Canada, you know, people saying that was a great show, or, a particularly good moment here or there. But I guess what I would say is that in general, I don't have thousands of emails. In that regard, I probably get a handful each week. It's not a whole flood. But I guess what I'm saying is I have changed the mindset, not just here in Houston or in Texas or in America, but around the world. The Drug Czar of Portugal thanks me for my work. The head of the Global Commission on Drugs, former president of Switzerland, she calls me a hero for the work I do. So the work I do is known. It is not often, I don't know, they may not know it's Dean Becker and the Drug Truth Network, but they know that these words are flowing, are changing. And the best I can tell you is when I began doing radio 20 years ago, I told you that first night, who was going to kick in the door, the cops or the cartels? Well, back then I used to open my show with this phrase, broadcasting from the gulag filling station of planet Earth. This is cultural baggage. And because at that time, 20 years ago, my city of Houston was the world's leading jailer. Every day we would arrest 200 to 300 people on drug charges. We would fill the county jail. They would be sleeping under the bunks in the hallways. And then the next morning, buses would arrive. They would load up a couple of hundred inmates and ship them to a jail in Louisiana or some small podunk town here in Texas, because they were just too full. And through my work with the various district attorneys over the years, the sheriffs, the police chiefs, the current set of law enforcement officials here, especially my district attorney, Kim Hogg, are opponents of the drug war, boldly, openly speak of its insanity and its failure. And that is because I have slowly, carefully opened that door of discussion. If A is true, if B is true, if C, then C must be true. And it was December of 2014 when the dam really broke. I was speaking to then Police Chief Charles McClellan, and he said, you know, Dean, you're absolutely right. The drug war is a miserable failure. And that night, NBC carried it. That radio segment carried the audio and a picture of the chief saying that, and all agreed with him. Fox News carried it, had a whole panel show about it. You know, he's right. And the dam broke. And since that day, it has changed greatly here in Houston. The current DA no longer, even though the state law still would allow it or halfway demand it, she no longer arrests anybody for under 4 ounces of marijuana. She no longer busts anybody for those tiny corner baggies of coke or whatever was left when they threw it on the floorboard. She wants to walk away from this drug war, and that is in large part from a result of my work.
So you must feel awfully proud of the fact that in your own way you've changed society.
So I am. I am. And again, I stand ever ready to, I'd love to be on Fox. I'd love to be on CNN or NBC, any of them, in an open public discussion. What is the benefit of drug war? Let's talk about that. And no one wants to talk about that, because there is no real benefit of drug war, unless it's to the cartels or the urine testers or the prison builders. But to you or me or our kids or our neighborhoods, there's no benefit. There is none. It's a hope, a dream that some magical day no one will ever do drugs again. And that's a pipe dream right there.
So, I don't think you're going to get an invitation to Rachel Maddow or anybody on CNN anytime soon. Would you agree?
Yeah. Well, because, look, I think Rachel probably gets it. I think, as I said, most politicians get it. They don't know what to do. They feel boxed in, you know, some quandary. They don't know what in the heck should be done, but it's easy. Return it to the way it was before Prohibition. Allow adults to do whatever the hell they want to do, and then judge their actions, not the contents of their pocket or their urine or their bloodstream. You know, it's America, land of the free. You know, not land of the suspect. And that's what we... go ahead.
We just have like a minute left. So can you give your email address or if you have a website or contact information for people who are listening to this to contact you?
Well, I thank you for that. And again, it's always an honor to share my thoughts over the radio, and I appreciate you giving me this chance. And I am Dean, D-E-A-N, at Drug Truth, D-R-U-G-T-R-U-T-H.net, Drug Truth Network. My website is drugtruth.net. As I said earlier, more than 8,300 radio shows are available. Links there to my YouTube video series. And at the top of my page, there is a link to the one video I produced late last year, called Claiming the Moral High Ground. And it features 19 interviews with the drug czar, heads of the Global Commission on Drugs, state senators, head of law enforcement against prohibition, many other groups and individuals, ripping the heart out of this belief in drug war. And folks, there is nobody willing to defend the drug war in an open public venue. And you need to make sure that they have to end their ugly belief that this is going to be beneficial.
Dean, it was a pleasure to talk to you. You've been listening to Dean Dicker. I'm Cynthia Poehler. This is All Exits Closed. If you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks, Dean. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Okay.